If you'd like to receive our newsletters, which we put out randomly two or three times a year, you can go to our website, chooselifeusa.org. In fact, we'd encourage you to go to that website anyway. You can follow us. We put updates and stuff on there. And we are all on all the social medias. We've been traveling around the United States, and I'll share tonight, this is one of the first churches that we went to, actually in Colorado. And we'll talk to you about how that all came about from Brother Bruce Foster, setting that all up tonight. But we covet your prayers because we thought by now ministry would be getting easier. But that was foul thinking because I started my own business, and after 10 years, I didn't have to advertise. I didn't have to do any of the footwork that I had to do the first 10 years. So we falsely thought that might be the same thing that would happen in ministry. But if you follow what's going on, you know there's an all-out battle for life. Choose Life Ministries is the name of the ministry. We take that straight from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, which says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that thou and thy seed may live. And sometimes we get asked, do you ever think you'll go into a foreign nation? And we're prepared to go and willing to go, and that may happen sometime in the near future. But God has laid a passion on our heart and a sense of urgency for America. Because if you didn't know it before you come in, you're going to know it before you leave. As a nation, as a whole, we're going down a very dark, slippery slope, especially when it comes to life. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Please, please hear our hearts. We're not here to condemn or convict anyone. Choose Life Ministries is not a ministry of condemnation. We are a ministry of restoration. If you know someone that's caught up in sin, whether it be abortion or any other sin, share with them 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, there's a promise there that God will do what? He will forgive us of those sins. Now, there's no doubt we need to be more vocal in the church. We need to let our voices be heard. But brothers and sisters, everything we do needs to be in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. Lord, we praise you for making this work, Lord, for allowing us to come out here to this beautiful country here in Gibson, Lord, and to come back to this church that supports us financially and prayerfully, Lord. It's awesome. We thank you. We praise you. You deserve all the praise, honor, and glory, Lord. And Lord, we just pray your Holy Spirit will have free reign here this morning, Lord. That you will touch our hearts, you will prick our hearts, and you will change our hearts. Lord, I pray you come against anybody or anything that come against the message that you would have heard here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak and speak in spite of me. And Lord, as always, we always pray if there's anybody in this building that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they will not leave here without the free gift of salvation. And we'll be very careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And we ask this in the name that is above all names. In the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen, amen. So what we're going to talk about this morning is truth versus lies. Now, there's so many lies out in the world, we could talk about them forever and never scrape the surface. We're also going to talk about how, as a nation, as a whole, we're pretty backwards and upside down. And we could talk about that a long time also and never scrape the surface. We're going to talk about three very, very simple things that we need to do as the church, as the body of Christ. When I speak of the church, this is a great building, a beautiful building, but it could be gone today and we could still have services here tonight because we are the church. You and I are the church. So three very simple things that we need to do as the church to see our nation turn from a nation of death, and there's no denying we are a nation of death, back to a nation of life, where we were at throughout most of our history. So we got a lot of information to share with you. Sometimes people tell me you speak so fast to that, y'all got to listen quickly. Because we are going to move along at a pretty good pace. But those outlines will help you, and most everything's up on the PowerPoint. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of y'all see this as God is nowhere? We've been in 1,300 churches in the last 13 years. And the first thing that pops into most people's minds when they see this, if you look at it long enough, you may see something different. The very first thing that pops into most people's minds is God is nowhere. Now, we in the church know that is obviously a lie, so why would it be one of the first things that would pop into our hearts and our minds? Because we live in such a cultural society, as a nation, as a whole, we really don't want any part of God. We've taken God out of the public school system. There's been multiple lawsuits to take God out of our pledge allegiance and off of our currency. So really, as a nation as a whole, we really don't want any part of God until there's some kind of a disaster. And then what do? We cry, God, where are you? This is a picture we took not too awfully far from here in Colorado Springs. We were on our way to a church back early in the ministry. It may have been the same trip that we made out here. I can't remember. But as you notice, there's something missing there. Right there, big open space. Over to the right of this T was a military memorial of names of people who had given their lives so that you and I have freedom to meet here today. If you notice, they've taken God out. And the problem is once you remove God, there's nothing that can replace Him. And people say, well, that's Colorado. But brothers and sisters, that's a barometer of our nation. God has given our nation victory after victory after victory of prosperity. And now as a nation as a whole, we don't even want to acknowledge His existence. But what about God is now here? And you know, this is the truth. You know, you can go anywhere in the world, to any country, any culture that may worship false gods and whatever they might worship, and you can ask 100 people, do you want to be told the truth or do you want to be lied to? And I can almost guarantee you 100 out of 100 are going to say, give me the truth, because the truth is basically nobody wants to be lied to. But what our lost world doesn't understand, and our government and all of those who think they're trying to remove God out of all areas of life, what they don't realize, without God and His Word, there is no truth. There is no truth. This is the only absolute truth there is out there. It's the Word of God. It's infallible. It's inherent. It's the truth from the very first word to the very last word. It doesn't matter whether we understand it, whether it fits into our lifestyle or not. God spoke it, and it is the truth. And it is the truth. This is a poll we're going to look at very quickly, because it goes right along with what I'm going to talk about. In year 2000, there was a Gallup poll that revealed a couple of very interesting things. One of the things that it revealed in year 2000 is that 90% of Americans claim to own a Bible. 90%. 9 out of 10 claim to own a Bible. The disturbing thing that came out of that was, out of that 90% who claim to own a Bible, less than 8% are reading and studying it on a regular basis. And you say, well, that was year 2000. It probably hasn't gotten any better in year 2019. And one of the things that we can realize, if less than 8% of us are reading and studying our Bible on a regular basis, basically that makes us what? A nation that is biblically illiterate. And there's a lot of problems, especially in the day and time in which we're living in now, because we are getting closer every day to the end. There's a big problem if you and I are not into the truth of God's Word. Two questions we need to ask ourselves. How do you counter a lie? How do you expose a lie? You can't use another lie to expose a lie. You have to use the truth to expose a lie. And one of the problems we're having today in our culture and society, a lot of the lies that are being espoused by the world are being accepted as truth, even though they are a lie, because we in the church don't know the truth of God's Word well enough to say, hey, that's a lie. Here's God's Word. Anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God, it needs to throw up a red flag to us. When they teach people who are handling lots of currency and money to detect counterfeit bills, they make them study the real 20s, the real 50s, the real 100s. That way, when they see something that doesn't look like the real thing, then it throws up a red flag. One of the other problems we have, if you and I are not into the truth of God's Word, is how do we guard our hearts from believing all those lies? Because a lie can be very close to the truth, but the truth is the truth and the lie is a lie. The very first thing that you and I need to do as the body of Christ, the church, is so simple to see our nation turn back from a nation of death to a nation of life. It's so simple, we just need to get back to the truth of God's Word. As the church, as an individual, as a nation, we need to get back to the truth of God's Word. This needs to be our thinking 24/7. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just on Sunday nights, and not just on Wednesday nights. How many of y'all believe this is under attack today in our nation? You bet it is. There's an all-out attack on the Word of God and the authority of God's Word. But if you believe the Word of God to be true from cover to cover, then you believe that life has meaning. It's very simple if you believe the truth of God's Word. If you believe all the truths of God's Word, then you believe there are godly standards that you and I as Christians need to be living by. If you believe all the words of God's Word to be true from cover to cover, you believe in the sanctity of marriage. And this is a whole other message, but you can turn on the TV and hear all kinds of definitions of marriage. We don't want to listen to that. We've already said the world is full of lies. We want to take everything back to the Word of God, and the Word of God is very clear on the sanctity of marriage. Again, a whole other message. We believe the truths of God's Word, and we believe in creation. Those of you who were here last time we were here know that as a ministry, when we set up Choose Life Ministries, our board of directors, our family wanted us to make sure that we stood on the principles that we believe that God's Word says that God spoke everything into existence in six literal 24-hour days. Now, we don't have a problem believing that because the God we serve is so awesome, so mighty, He could have done it in 6 seconds had He chose to do so. But He chose 6 days, and He chose 6 days for a reason. You know, one of the problems we face today is we'd rather believe fallible man while we got the infallible Word of God right here in our hands. One of the problems we face today is we've gotten away from the truth of God's Word, and because we've gotten away from the truth of God's Word, so goes life. And you know, sometimes people tell us, well, this issue of abortion doesn't affect me. If you live in a nation that sheds innocent blood, it does affect you, either directly or indirectly. So if you believe because you don't believe in abortion, you're okay, that's a lie. Because we are all living in a nation that sheds innocent blood. But let's lay aside abortion for just a moment, because it is a slippery slope. And let's talk about euthanasia, because I don't know whether you all know this or not, but the belief in euthanasia is growing very, very rapidly in this nation. 4 states have legalized assisted suicide, and 3 more are trying to get it legal in their states. So legalized assisted suicide basically is euthanasia. And the belief in euthanasia is, once you have reached a certain point in your life that you could no longer contribute to society, then our society, the society in which we live in right now, deems you not worthy of life. And brothers and sisters, that's a lie straight from Satan. Because we don't have the right to put value on anybody's life at any point. So because we've gotten away from the truth of God's Word, we have euthanasia in America. Because we've gotten away from the truth of God's Word, we have abortion at the rate of 3,600 unborn innocent babies that lose their lives just in America, and that's 7 days a week. Because we've gotten away from the truth of God's Word in creation, we have the lie of evolution, and I'm here this morning to tell you, brothers and sisters, the lie of evolution is the unborn child's worst enemy today in America in 2019. Because we're going to ask you to think about a few things, exercise your minds a little bit, and one of the first things that I want you to think about is if you or your child or your grandchild, if they just evolved, if they're just an accident, then somebody tell me, where's their value found? They really don't have any value. And the world's right. It's okay to abort. It's okay to euthanize. Oh, we've already established the world is full of lies. We need to take everything back to the Word of God. And one of the first verses I want you to hide on your hearts today, especially in the culture and society in which we live in now, because our culture and society will base every one of our values on all different kinds of criteria. Too overweight, too thin, uneducated, all kinds of color of your skin. There's all kinds of things that our world will say that they're basing your value on, when the truth is, our value is found in Genesis 1:27. And if you haven't thought about this, I want you to take a moment right now and think about this. Genesis 1:27 tells us that every one of us in this room are created in God's image. We're created in the image of the Creator. And that's why we need to hold on to that. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He, him. Male and female created He, them. And again, this is where our value is found. And you know, we could talk a long time about what that value is, but there's a verse in Haggai that tells us that God owns all the silver and gold in the world. Man possesses it, God owns it. We could take this room right here and fill it up with silver and gold until it's running out all the doors and the windows. And 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says what? It wouldn't purchase not even one of us. Not even your pastor. We hold gold to a very high value in our culture and society today, but here's the truth. When you place it up against the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not worth much. Amen? It's not worth much. This room full of gold is not worth as much as one drop of Jesus' blood. So the very first thing that we need to do to see our nation turn from a nation of death back to a nation of life is so simple. We need to get back to the truth of God's Word. And we need to preach and teach that all human life is created in the image of God. And we can look at the life of David and see that. In fact, we're gonna stay here with David for just a moment. Because if you know someone that's had an abortion, or maybe they're caught up in any kind of sin, sit down and share with them the story of David. Because you start out by telling them what? David was a great king. Nobody can argue that. In fact, he may have been the greatest king that's ever lived. But as you share the story of David, he was a great king. Then you have to tell them in 2 Samuel, it tells us what? That David, in all of his glory and all of his majesty, did what? He committed adultery and murder. So David was a great king, yet God still used him. And as you share the story of David, he was a great king. He sinned, he fell. In other words, he was just like all the rest of us. He was human. Bear in mind, we don't help anybody by watering down sin. We also don't help anybody by saying there's no consequences for sins, because there's always consequences for sins. You and I face consequences for our sins every single day. The very reason that there's death, disease, and destruction in our world today is a direct result of sin, because it was perfect at one point. And as you share the story of David, he was a great king, he sinned, he fell. Then take him to Psalms 51. And in fact, before you go to bed tonight, I would encourage you to read Psalms 51. Because Psalms 51 is an awesome prayer of repentance that David prayed, God's word says, with a right, contrite heart. Now you can look to the person to your left and to your right. Maybe they're a family member. Maybe you know them real well, but you really don't know their heart. But God does. And God knew the heart of David when he prayed this prayer in Psalms 51. And he prayed this prayer in Psalms 51 after he had committed adultery and murder. So we know there's forgiveness there. We just looked at 1 John 1:9. Genesis 1:27. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. My substance is not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thou hast to see my substance yet being imperfect. Remember that, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which continues from a fraction when as yet there was none of them. This tells me what? That God knew David before he was ever formed in the womb. He knew each and every one of us here today before we were ever formed in the womb. And knowing us before we were formed in the womb and every day of our life and all the things that we were ever going to do, God still loved us. He still loved us enough to send his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins. That's love that you and I can't even begin to fathom. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. What's the first verse? What's the first verse you need to hide on your hearts? Genesis 1:27. Why? Because God chose to create us in his image. The second verse we need to hide on our hearts, Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, because Ephesians 2:10 tells us, this is another one of these verses that when we think about it, it should bring a smile to our face. Some of y'all look like you haven't smiled in a while. Think about this. All of us in this room are God's workmanship. We're God's workmanship. And you know, we could talk a long time about what it means to be God's workmanship, but you know what the bottom line is? God doesn't make junk. Yet we live in a culture and society wants to say some people are junk. By the way, Brother Steve, that's my grandson there. Little proud of him. Him and my papa love each other a lot. So we're going down a dark, slippery slope in this nation. And there's no denying it. All we have to do is look around. Isaiah says, woe to them who call evil good and good evil. Brothers, sisters, we're living in those days. We're living in those days. Every one of us here this morning can remember something when we were growing up that was considered evil that our culture and society today says is okay or good, or vice versa. We're living in those days. And why are we living in those days? Because we've gotten away from the truth of God's Word. And when you get away from the truth of God's Word, you start believing the lies out there because we don't know the truth well enough to recognize a lie when we see it. So we're going down a dark, slippery slope in this nation. And also you start believing the lies. And one of the biggest lies that's out there right now in our culture and society, and unfortunately, it's even in a lot of our churches, is the lie that once you find out during the course of pregnancy that you're going to have a special needs child, such as Down syndrome or any other special needs, our culture and society today says that you should have the right to take that innocent baby's life. Why? Because the culture and society says they'll never contribute to society. We don't want to listen to the lies of the world. We want to take everything back to the Word of God. Genesis 1:27 that we looked at just a few minutes ago has already told us that all human life was created in the image of God. Psalm says there's none perfect. Exodus 4:11 says, the Lord said unto him, who maketh man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And I got to tell you, as we cross America, we meet a lot of parents of special needs children. And without exception, they've always said that they were a blessing from God. Because God is the giver and taker of life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death. I want to introduce you to Nick Wojcik. Women that were here last night saw a video of him. He's got an awesome testimony. But he is a prime example of someone that our world would say needed to be aborted. Why? Because he was born with no legs and no arms. But if we fast forward and we know the truth, Nick is married. He's got several children. And there's literally been thousands come to know Jesus Christ because of his testimony. I'd encourage you to go to his website. We got a real quick clip we're going to show him, and then we'll move on.
I wasn't ready.
I have no arms and no legs, but I'm very thankful that I have my little chicken drumstick here. People freak out when they see me for the first time. It's so cool. I was at a water slide all by myself. Everyone obviously at the bottom of the slide is looking up and waiting for other people to come down. And here I come and they're freaking out. They're like, you know, like this. And I was so tempted to look at myself and go, what happened? You know. And there were times where I sort of looked at my life and thinking, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. And you keep on concentrating on the things that you wish you had or the things that you wish you didn't have. And you sort of forget what you do have. And there's no point, I believe, in my life where I wish I had arms and legs, I wish I had arms and legs, I wish I had arms and legs, because wishing won't help. But what I've seen in life are just a couple key principles. And the first thing that I've seen is to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful, man. I tell you, when I was 8 years old, I sort of summed up my life and thought, I'm never going to get married. I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to have a life of purpose. What kind of a husband am I going to be if I can't even hold my wife's hand? It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
Quite a testimony. I would encourage you to go to his website, lifewithoutlimbs.org. I'll put this screen up while I point out just how far we have come down this slippery slope in this nation. We've already established during Sunday school, if you were here, we do have a few sports fans, but do everybody here like sports? Yeah, some kind of sports. I want to talk about Michael Vick. Anybody remember Michael Vick? Yeah. He hasn't been in the news much lately, but there for a while he was in the news quite a bit. Michael Vick started his NFL career as a quarterback with the Atlanta Falcons. And then he went to Philadelphia as a backup quarterback. In between Atlanta and Philadelphia, Michael Vick spent 18 months in the state penitentiary for dogfighting on his property in Virginia. And I'm not here to debate with you whether he deserved to go to jail or he didn't. I'm a dog lover also. We have a little dog at home and we love him and we're going to miss him when he's gone. But here's the problem we have as a nation. When we start putting our plants and animals above human life, we got a real problem. We got a real problem. I want to point out three truths to you that you're not going to hear about Michael Vick, that you're not going to hear from our very biased mainstream media. The first truth, had Michael Vick opened up an abortion clinic on his property in Virginia and taken unborn, innocent babies' lives, Atlanta would have never fired him because he was a franchise player. Truth number two, had Michael Vick opened up an abortion clinic on his property in Virginia instead of a dogfighting ring, Michael Vick would have never spent a day in jail. Because in the eyes of our nation, he wouldn't have done anything wrong or illegal. Within 2 weeks of getting out of jail, Michael Vick declared bankruptcy. He spent millions of dollars trying to stay out of jail for dogfighting. I remind you, he made millions in the NFL. One of the years of his career, he was the highest paid NFL player. Here's truth number three. Had he have opened up an abortion clinic on his property in Virginia and taken unborn innocent babies' lives instead of a dogfighting ring, Michael Vick would have been making money off the NFL, off the abortion clinic, all perfectly legal, and it's the blessing of our nation. As a nation, as a whole, we care more about our plants and animals than we do our unborn children. And that needs to change. That needs to change. But brothers and sisters, that's not going to come through Washington, D.C. That's going to come through the church. Becoming unified on what God's Word says about life, and then using the Word of God as a platform to challenge the lies that are out there, and to challenge this awful thing of abortion. You know, one of the biggest problems we face today in our culture and society is our media. 90% of our media are self-proclaimed atheists. Yet you and I, as Christians, turn on the news and believe everything they tell you. Something's not right there. The media today, they play the war we're involved in Iraq and Afghanistan and different places up to the hill. And I'm not here to downplay it or to dismiss it in any way, shape, or form. My heart goes out to anyone that's lost a loved one in any war. I have twin boys that serve in the Navy, and I'm thankful for their service and thankful that they've always come back alive and well. But I want you to get these numbers in your heart. We've been a nation for well over 200 years. You take all the deaths from all the wars, and again, get this number in your head. This is over 200 years of history. They're all represented one line of crosses, 50,000 for each cross. This is approximation of all the deaths from all the wars since we became a nation over 200 years ago. It doesn't even come close to the over 60 million unborn, innocent babies that have lost their lives just in America, but we don't hear anything about them from the media. And by the way, this is just 46 years of history. This is not over 200 years. One line of crosses compared to all the line of crosses that you see in 200 years for one line of crosses, 46 years for all these, representing all those who have lost their lives to abortion just in America. We need to stand up and make a difference. And it needs to come through the church. You don't hear anything about them from the media. Of course you don't. They're the forgotten ones. They don't have a voice. God's word commands the church to be what? A voice for those who do not have a voice. We have no greater example of somebody that doesn't have a voice than an unborn child. And you know, there's no way we can know the heart of God in this issue. But you know, Genesis tells us that God could hear what? The blood of one innocent man crying from the grave. Can you only imagine what he hears now? That over 60 million just in America. One out of every four pregnancies will end in abortion. That's 25% of our nation we have lost since January 22nd, 1973. And we have no idea who we've lost. Billy Graham just died recently. We may have aborted the next great evangelist. We have no idea. I have no idea. What's the first thing we need to do? We need to get back to the truth of God's word. The second thing, we need to be salt and light. We need to be salt and light. But I got to tell you, out of the 1,300 churches we've been in, we're seeing too many churches that are being affected by the culture instead of the church affecting the culture. Did you get that? It's not the way it's supposed to be. Do you ever wonder why once you get saved, God just didn't take you home? Because you're here for a purpose and a reason. And that purpose and reason is to affect the culture for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we do that by being salt and light. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trod under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light to all that are in the church. Verse 13 says that we are to be salt. Now, active working salt does what? It changes the flavor of everything it comes in contact with. It also preserves. We wouldn't be seeing so much spiritual decay today in our world if there was more spiritual salt coming out of our churches. This is written in red. It's from Jesus. It doesn't say you can be, you may be, you should be salt. Basically, verse 13 says if you're a blood-bought, born-again Christian, then you are salt. The question we have to ask ourselves this morning in our own hearts and minds, are we salt that's changing our culture? Or are we salt that's lost our savor? Those verses go on to tell us that we're to be a light. You go into a dark room and flip on a light switch, and what happens to darkness? It flees. Darkness and light cannot inhabit the same space. Light exposes darkness. Some ways that we can be salt and light, we need to educate people. Educate, educate. It's so important. What do we need to educate them on? Not on my opinion, not on the pastor's opinion. We've already established it all hinges on the Word of God. We need to educate people on what God's Word says about life. When we early in our ministry, the CDC reported, Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, reported that abortions were down 5%. Focused on the family, James Dobson's organization spent some time and money researching why it was down 5%, because it was the first time we'd seen a decrease since January 22nd, 1973. By the way, the latest statistics are somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 25% that abortions are down. So we are winning the battle baby by baby. And some people in our work, in our line of ministry, says that that's not even worthy of celebration. But it is, because if those numbers are correct, that translates to 300,000 innocent babies whose lives are saved each and every year. We don't stop there. We want to see it 100%, but we'll take whatever we can get. After they did their study, focused on the family, they came up with three reasons why abortions went down the first time back in the 80s. Number one, educate. It's so important that we educate people on what God's Word says. Number two reason, pro-life laws. There's been more pro-life laws passed in the last 10 years than any time in our nation's history. Your vote does matter. The third thing, giving women a real choice. And that's your local pregnancy care center. They're doing an awesome work. If you're not already helping them in some way, you need to help them. They're always looking for volunteers. And at the least, we need to be praying for them because they are doing an awesome work. And as Christians, we need to be voting. Now, I'm not going to get up here and get political because a lot of people say this is a political issue. This is not a political issue. This is a right-wrong issue. And as the church, we need to sound the alarm from the church house all the way to the White House. But so many Christians today will say, I am 100% pro-life. Well, if you're 100% pro-life, it means while you're at church, while you're at work, and when you go into that voting booth, you need to remain 100% pro-life. Moses loaded the animals on the ark 2x2. That's a true statement, right? How many of y'all believe that's a true statement? Yeah? No, it wasn't Moses. We throw that in because we get some red faces and some laughs. But there's another reason we throw that in. Every word in that sentence was true but one. And that one word did what? Made the whole sentence a lie. A lie is a lie and the truth is a truth. Right is right and wrong is wrong. We need to be salt and light. Third and final thing, we need to get into the Word. We need to be salt and light. And third and final thing, we need to be praying people. There's power in prayer, and we need to be praying people. The first thing we need to pray for our nation. And then we need to pray for our churches. And actually, we need to pray for our churches first and then our nation. And we have 2 Chronicles 7:14 up there. But you know, that's more for the church. That's more for the church, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Because if the church will get on board with what God's Word says, the nation will follow. You know, we can't expect the world to get it right when we don't have it right in the church. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, well, who's my people? It's not the world. It's you and I in the church. It's you and I in the church. If my people which are called my name shall humble themselves, why does God tell us that we need to humble ourselves? Because after being in 1,300 churches, I can tell you there's a lot of pride in the church. And there's no place for pride in the church. In fact, Proverbs lists 7 things that God hates. The number one thing is pride. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. If we pray and seek God's face, what are we praying for change? Real change in our nation. And then there's the promise. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and here's the promise, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and do what? Heal their land. Our nation needs a healing. We need a touch from God. And before we move on, I just want you to take a moment right now and in your own mind's eye, picture a map of America. And then I want you to picture all these festering sores across that map. And there's a lot of them. But the number one is abortion. The number one is abortion. It's a festering sore in our nation, and it needs a touch from God to heal it, because that's the only thing that's going to change it. We need to pray for pastors that they'll stand in the pulpits across America and preach God's Word uncompromised. We have to contact anywhere from 150 to 175 pastors before we find one who allows us to come share the message. I appreciate Brother Steve allowing us to come back. Pray for your pregnancy care center. Pray for Choose Life Ministries. Our number one need is prayer, because it's a spiritual battle out there, and it seems to get more intense each and every day. Pray for your youth and children. Y'all have got a great group of youth and children here. A church this size, normally we see one or two. Sometimes we don't see any. So you need to pray for them. And y'all are small enough that you probably know each and every one of their names and you know them personally. So pray for them by name, because we need to see God raise up a generation of youth and children that are going to say, no longer are we going to lie, listen to and believe the lies of Satan. We're going to stand on the very truth of God's word. Because we don't want to hear it as adults, but we've kind of dropped the ball. We're leaving our children and grandchildren an awful mess in this nation. That's not financially, that's spiritually. The youth and children of today can be the David that slays the Goliath of abortion in the future. Pray for your youth and children. And I know I've covered a lot of information in a short period of time. The bottom line is we need to see a change in man's heart. What we're experiencing in our world today is what's coming out of man's heart. So if you forget anything, forget the statistics, forget the other information, but don't forget the Word of God, because the power of prayer and the power of God's Word can and will change man's heart. Genesis 1:27 tells us that all human life is created in the image of God. Psalms tells us that God is a very patient, loving Heavenly Father who desires a relationship with each and every one of us, and He formed each and every one of us, and knew us all before we were formed in the womb. Matthew tells us that we are to be salt and light. Three things that are missing in so many Christians' lives today: the Word of God. How do we challenge a lie if we don't know the truth ourselves? How do we guard our hearts from believing a lie if we don't know the truth? There's power in prayer, and salt is an active ingredient. So what do we need to do as Christians? We need to get into the Word, we need to get on our knees, and we need to get up and get active. God didn't save any of us to warm a chair or a pew a couple of times a week. He called us all to a ministry. James tells us it's not good enough just to be a hearer of the Word. We must be a what? A doer of the Word. Very quickly, we spoke in a church in Bowling Green, Kentucky, heart of the Bible Belt, Southern Baptist Church. Pastor was a friend of mine. We had been on the calendar for a while, and every time he would announce we were coming, he had this one lady that would catch him after the services and say, "Why are you having them come to our church? There's nothing wrong with abortion. There's nothing wrong with euthanasia." This went on for several months. True story, 3 weeks before we were to come, he called me and he said, "Brother, you may not want to come to my church. This lady, she may disrupt the services. And the sad fact is that 75% of my church agrees with her." I said, "Well, yeah, we want to come. We wouldn't want to miss the opportunity." The question is do you really want us to come? Because we're going to come. Somebody may get their feelings hurt. If you haven't already figured out, God didn't call us here today to the previous 1,000 churches or to the next 1,000 churches to tickle your ears and make you feel good. We came here to share the truth of God's Word about life. And this is a sword. Sometimes it cuts. But it's also a source of healing. He thought for a moment. He said, "Brother, I was looking for a job when I found this one. Come on." So we bathed it in prayer. We came. We spoke. During the invitation time, that lady that had been giving him so many fits was the first one at the altar. Tears flowing. She says, "I've been wrong my entire life." It was nothing we did. It was the power of God's Word and the power of prayer. Two tools God gives us, but we got to put feet and hands on them. We got to put feet and hands on them. You know, earlier I said that God knew each and every one of us before we were ever formed in the womb and loved us. But the truth is, He knew us before the very foundations of the earth. He knew everything about us. The good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. Even though Isaiah tells us our best is nothing more than filthy rags. Knowing all that, God still loved us. 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Propitiation is a payment. How much is that payment? We've already established God owns all the silver and gold in the world. That wasn't valuable enough. It took the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our prayer this morning is, if there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, you will not leave here without the free gift of salvation. Statistically, someone that's here today may not be here this time next week. The truth is, if you know that you know that you know, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and God forbid something happened to you this week, you're with Jesus just like that. But the other side of that is, if you've never had a time that you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and God forbid something happened to you this week, it's hell. Now, our world would say that's too narrow-minded. There's got to be other ways. We've already established the world's full of lies, and this is the truth right here, and that's what God's Word says. Don't leave here taking the risk that something will happen to you this week if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Last verse I'm going to share with you, and then I'm going to turn the service back over to your pastor. Maybe you get discouraged from time to time. I know we sure do in Choose Life Ministries. This is a verse you need to go to. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, He that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. If you're here today and you're a blood-bought, born-again Christian, then you know He's your Redeemer. You know He's your Creator. The two go hand in hand. Brothers, sisters, that's hope that a lost and dying world doesn't have. We need to take that outside the four walls of the church. There was an interesting poll taken a few years ago. It asked a large group of evangelical Christians, do you feel like it is part of your obligation to take the teachings of God's Word outside the four walls of the church? 58% of those polled said no. That's why we're in the shape that we're in. Brothers, sisters, if you know that you know that you know, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ here this morning, you have hope that a lost and dying world doesn't have. We need to take that outside the four walls of the church. I appreciate your time. I'll turn the service back over to Brother Steve. Just remember, as Christians, we are in a spiritual battle. But as Christians, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. The victory's been won. We just need to get in the battle. Appreciate your time.